Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please open your Bibles. We are studying in the book of Nehemiah in Hebrew, Nehemiah, chapter 5. This man of God, by the name of Nehemiah, was one of the Jewish individuals who came back to the land of Judah, the land of Israel, and he so badly wanted to help to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates which were burnt with fire. He was a godly man, a Jewish man who loved the God of Israel, loved the people of Israel, and wanted a restoration of the nation, and the walls set up and the gates are placed in a right way, back where they belong. Because the Jewish people were mocked, they were discouraged, they were dispersed, they were scattered, even though they came back already when Zerubbabel and Ezra brought some of the Jewish people back to the land, but still there was a problem. There was many needs among the people of Israel. So by the time we are here today in this ministry meeting, we have already covered four chapters. And today I'm going to read chapter 5, and by the grace of God, I will try to cover the whole chapter if it is possible. Let's follow, please. Nehemiah, chapter 5, verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our land and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses also, the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil, that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen. And praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon these people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for these people. Let me just remind you, brothers and sisters, because it's always good to make a recap for a moment. Nehemiah came back with quite a few Jewish people from Babel, and he began to build the walls and the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Symbolically, we apply this to us. It is a man that is spiritually exercised before the Lord, and he wants to build the walls around the people of God, to protect the people of God, to be a blessing to the people of God. And we mention how often we need these kind of brothers and sisters that the Lord will raise from among the body of Messiah, that will be the kind of men and women that will say, I want to serve the Lord, I want to live for the Lord, I want to be a blessing to the people of God. No matter what the cost, I want to be a servant of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. Well, Nehemiah was this kind of a man. He lived in Babel. He's actually perhaps never seen the city of Jerusalem. But he heard that the condition was so bad there, and he was so burdened as a cupbearer to the king. The king saw his face that he was sad, and the king told him, what do you want? And he said, I want to go back to my people's land, to Israel and to Jerusalem, and I want to build a wall, and I want to build the gates. Well, he went. And the king assisted him. God blessed him. He came to the land of Israel, and what does he see? Everything is broken. Everything is burnt with fire. Everything was in such a condition that he determined to do something about it. And so in chapter 3, we saw Nehemiah building with the Jewish people, the remnant that came, and many others who joined them. And they were building the walls, and they were setting up the gates. And as things climb up, and it was already halfway through, enemies began to attack these Jewish people. Just like I mentioned that in our history as a nation, since 1948, when the people of Israel trying to build the land and to work the ground and to build, always these enemies against the people of God, the people of Israel. And you and I, as believers in Yeshua the Messiah, will find out very quickly that whenever you want to do something for the Lord, the enemies will attack any work of the Lord that is being done. Satan is opposing God's work. The world is against God's people. And the human nature, the flesh, is constantly rising up. Well, in chapter 4, we heard about those enemies. You remember in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass when Sanballat heard that they builded the wall, he was wroth, he was angry, and he took a great indignation, and he mocked the Jewish people. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says here, but it came to pass when Sanballat and Tuviah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth, very angry. See, they had enemies from without who opposed the building of the walls of Jerusalem and the gates thereof. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is exactly how Satan works. He is sometimes coming as a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he is desiring to devour the people of God. And this is the enemies without. But now when we come to chapter 5, we learn another lesson. It's not only the enemies without that attacks us. Here we have a second problem. And we know it very well. In every congregation, in every local assembly, in every local church, you will find out that it's not only the problems of those that hate the believers in Yeshua the Messiah, but we find out that because of self-will and unbrokenness before God, and because of pride, and because I'm going to do my thing, we are not broken before the Lord, and instead of caring for the welfare of the people of God, we begin to abuse them. And we begin to sow things that are not right with the Lord. And here you find it. It didn't only happen in our Jewish people's history, it's happened in the present day church age in which you and I live in today. And that's why there are so many broken churches, and broken groups, and company of people who are divided and are scattered. Why? It's not only because of the fault of them that are without, it is also the problem that is within. And that's why God is constantly appealing through the apostle, whether it is Peter, James, John, Jude, and the apostle Paul. They're appealing to the heart and the consciences of the believers and telling them, brethren, be submissive to the Lord. Seek to be a blessing to God's people. Don't hurt each other. Recognize that you are to build each other up. We are brethren. We're part of the body of Messiah. Well, here in chapter 5, we can see the issue is rising up. You notice immediately in chapter 5, verse 1, here is the internal conflict among the Jewish people in the land of Israel. It began, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jewish people. Now notice, you have husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, we call them in Hebrew, achim, brethren. Here they began to cry one against each other. Why they were crying? Apparently there was a problem. The Hebrew word for cry is the Hebrew word sa'akat ha'am v'nashehem. The cry of the nation and their wives. Why they were crying and they were lifting up their voice? Because they were exasperated. There was a problem among the people of God. Not now from Sanballat and Tuviah and also the others. It's not with them from without right now. Now we see some things that have happened from within among the Jewish people. Like things happen among the believers in the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, when there are friction among the brethren. Turn with me to Psalm 133. This is a very important verse, and we often sing it, and yet we don't practice this in reality oftentimes. Psalm 133, the psalmist of Israel says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Hebrew we say, Hine matov u manaim shevet achim gam yachad. How pleasant
And how good when the brethren are dwelling together in unity. Maybe they don't agree with each other on every little thing, but their desire is to have unity. By the way, Psalm 133 is a prophetic psalm that speaks about the future of Israel, that Israel as a nation will one day be restored as a nation, and there will be a harmony and unity among all the Jewish people worldwide during the Messianic kingdom. Notice in this Psalm 133 verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that went down upon the beard of Aaron's beard and went down all the way to the skirts of his garments. This ointment is when Aaron was anointed and the oil was running down his head and down his beard all the way to his skirts. And it is a representation of Aaron, who is a type of the Mashiach, Yeshua. And when Israel as a nation will accept him, all the nation of Israel ultimately will be blessed when that oil of gladness, when the oil of the Holy Spirit of God will anoint the nation and the nation will be restored. That is yet in the future. But God loved to see it in the present. He wanted to see it among Israel historically, and he wanted to see it among us today, not to wait for tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow will come when you and I will have no longer this sin nature to hurt us and to harm one another. That will be done away with when we're going to get a new body, a glorified body, no more sinful nature with us. That's yet future, but the Lord wants us to enjoy it today with his help. Now, you notice it says at the end of verse 3, for there the Lord commendeth the blessings, even life forevermore. When God's people submit to his will, there is blessing among the people of God. By few or by many. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. But it didn't happen here. The remnant returned back to the land. And so in verse 1, you already see, beloved brothers and sisters, what have existed there, that there was a cry to God. One against the other because of the reasons it comes up. We're going to see it in a moment. Just turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. In verse 7 especially, it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Judah is his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, but behold, there was oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold, there was a cry. Here's the same word, a cry, tzaka, litzok, to shout, to cry because of the pain that was imposed upon someone else of these Jewish brethren. And so after the internal conflict among our Jewish people of old in the days of Nehemiah came about, here you find the complaint of one against the others. Some who complain against their brethren. What was the complaint? Verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, we find out the complaint. Number 1 in verse 2, some said we needed food for our daughters and our sons. They said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many, therefore we take up corn, in Hebrew dagan, food, for them that we may eat and live. Apparently, they didn't have sufficient enough means to sustain themselves because there was a famine, a drought in this land at that time. And they were saying, we need to get food for our family so we will be able to sustain ourselves. But look what happened. The second point that we find out in verse 3 now, there were some that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, houses, that we might buy corn, in Hebrew the word dagan, food really, because of the dearth or the famine. Apparently there was a famine in the land. So food was scarce, limited, so they had to mortgage their homes, their vineyards, their houses, their lands, in order to buy some food for their families. But who did they mortgage the land to? To their own brethren. And their own brethren should have treated these individuals who became tomb, right, because of the condition in the land, but they end up now abusing their place by oppressing their brethren. Look at the next verse. For the third psalm we read, some said, we have borrowed money. Notice it, and I'm reading now verse 4. And there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and against our land and our vineyards. Now you see, they had to pay tribute to the king of Persia, so they borrow money against their homes, their vineyards, their houses, so they will be able to pay, and therefore they became poor. And now you can see how some have abused the condition that prevailed in the days when Nehemiah and the people of Judah were building the wall. The wall is almost done and so on. They were continuing on. But while they were working together, some have abused their own brethren. And you see, here's the actual cry, the complaint itself is found in verse 5. Our children became slaves. Notice that. And now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, in Hebrew, avadim, slaves. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. See, brothers and sisters, what really happened is simply this. Some of them who came back with Nehemiah, others who were already living in the land, they would begin to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem. They were putting the walls, stone upon stone upon stone upon stone, setting up the gates. There were enemies from without. They had to deal with them to protect themselves with ammunition and so on. But now we find out that as they were working, they had to mortgage their lands to others who perhaps were better off. And those others, instead of making life easy for their brethren, they abused that. And they were charging them mortgage, and they perhaps, notice he used this expression here, we had to mortgage our land. To put mortgage is simply to borrow something against your property. So imagine what happened. In no time, these people, because of the famine, because of the work that they've had, they became poor. And some of the brethren abused these situation, and instead of easing things for their brethren, who were working together and building the walls of Jerusalem, they have actually began to charge them and to lend the money against their property to the extent that these people became so poor. And notice, by the time we read verse 5, they brought even their children into bondage, into slavery. In other words, Jewish individual made another Jewish individual a slave, to the extent that they abused their position or their place or the power that they may have had. And that was forbidden by God under law. When God gave the people of Israel instruction of how to treat the poor would never supposed to be abused and to take usury out of him, out of the born brethren. They should have never have done that. And you see what happened, brothers and sisters? When things are not being done right, even the relationship between the brethren became from bad to worse. And the frictions and the problems among the people of God. And here is that complaint. And you know, it's very similar to what the Apostle Paul warned the believers in various local assemblies in the early days of old. You remember in the church age, there was a friction between the widows that came from outside of the land and the widows in the land. There were a friction because they did not treat each other right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, some people were taking other brethren to court. And then in other passages in scriptures, in the book of James, the wealthy were not treating the poor in the right way. This happened also in the early days of the church age, just the same like it happened in the days of our nation, Israel. And that's what was the complaint. You see what happened? Look, the lesson that we learn from this is simply that. If Satan does not succeed to defeat the work of the Lord from without, he began to work from within. If he is not successful to attack God's people as a roaring lion from without, he is successful in many ways to discourage the people of God from within, and he is appearing as an angel of light. That is exactly what happened. And so we find out that these individuals were so discouraged and fighting or disagreement with each other. As verse 1 began, there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren. The cry lifted up to God. And you know, this is a great lesson for us in our relationship with each other. We are to treat each other in a right way, dear brothers and sisters. We are brethren. You know, Abraham said to Lot, when Lot and Abraham's herdmen were fighting, Abraham said to Lot, "Lot, we are achim. And if we are brethren, why should we fight with each other?" And that's why it is so encouraging to see the kind of an attitude that this man by the name of Nehemiah have had as a person who wanted to be a builder among the people of God. Let me just read a verse or two. Turn to Deuteronomy, Sefer Dvarim, in the Tanakh, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Moses instructed our people of old, the people of Israel, as they were in preparation to enter into the promised land. In verse 19, he said, "Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury." Verse 20, "Unto the stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it."
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.